Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey. We're going to get started with Favor.
This is the hour, this is the hour I'm pouring out all my favor. Oh, ooh, 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 ooh. Thank you for favor. Oh. Trying to lead this thing along, but when you think about favor, oh my God, you see, I just want to say it one more time. And realize that you gotta be purified for God's favor. You may have a temporary setback, but it's only a permanent setup for God's favor to reign in your life. Somebody needs to know that tonight. But when you get down on your knees and pray, and you're asking for God's favor, this is all God is saying. He's just saying this. Receive it, receive it. I'll give it. If you allow me. I wanna rain. Down on your soul. I wanna prove. With the devil. Try to mean for evil. And I will turn it around. But y'all good. I wanna rain. I wanna shine. Fall on me. Oh, let the favor of God flood my soul.
Rain on me.
That's what I want God to do.
Shine on me.
Anybody know what I'm talking about? You fill me up here. I want you to fall down on me, God.
Let the favor of heaven flood my soul. Oh, rain on me.
Rain on me.
Shine on me.
I'm trying not to get out of the way here.
Fall on me.
Fall down.
Wow. Good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine Ann Ingram. That was Karen Shear Clark. I tell you, well, I probably said it wrong, right? Karen Clark Shear. All right. Well, Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, and let the favor of heaven rain down on us this morning. Yes, let the favor of heaven rain down on us. All right, we're going to get ready to invite the stillness, the presence of God, the presence of the one that is the one. Yes. I'm just so grateful because there's only one power and one presence. And on this line, we recognize this great spirit that is known by many, 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 many names. We recognize it as God, the good, the omnipotent, everywhere present, knowing that there is not a spot that our God does not come, Holy Spirit. And so as we move into the presence, into that stillness right now. I want you to move from your head and right into your heart, because the heart has wisdom. And I want you to be very intentional about your breath this morning. You see, there's power in the breath, family. Sometimes we forget to breathe. Sometimes we forget to simply breathe. And so in this right now moment, as we become one with the one, I want you to be very intentional about the breath by breathing in through the nose. Hold it to the point of vibration. Hold it to the count of eight. Remembering to breathe deep into the diaphragm and deep into the heart and release the breath. And so right now I want you to be still and know that I am God. I want you to breathe, family. And release. And let's breathe again. Be still and know that I am God. Let's breathe. And let's breathe again. This time I want you to breathe in all of your gratitude, just simply saying thank you. As you focus in on the heart, I just want you to say thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And let's be still and know that I am God. Breathe. And release. And last time, be still and know that I am God. Let's breathe. And release.
Day 10, a prayer of forgiveness. I forgive myself for judging my relationship with money. I now consciously and willingly call forth the Holy Spirit and the consciousness of the higher mind I am into every cell, every atom, every molecule, every tissue, every organ, every muscle, and every living system in my being, asking to have transformed every energy, every pattern, every belief, every program, every idea, every attitude, every perception, every expectation, every intention, and every behavior and motivation related to money, wealth, and abundance, bringing it into alignment with the perfect will of God. I now consciously and willingly call forth the Holy Spirit and the consciousness of the higher mind I am into every atom, every molecule, every cell, every tissue, every organ, every muscle, and every living system in my being, asking to have transformed every energy, every pattern, every belief, every program, every idea, every attitude, every perception, every expectation, every intention, and every behavior and motivation related to money, bringing it into alignment with the perfect peace of God. I now consciously and willingly call forth the Holy Spirit and the consciousness of the higher mind I am into every atom, every molecule, every cell, every tissue, every organ, every muscle, and every living system in my being, asking to have transformed every energy, every pattern, every belief, every program, every idea, every attitude, every perception, every expectation, every intention, and every behavior and motivation related to money, bringing it into perfect alignment with the perfect love of God. For this I am so grateful, and so it is. Today, I forgive myself for judging my relationship with money. Gratitude Meditation. This guided meditation is offered to support you in creating the experience of gratitude within your mind and body. Gratitude is the quality or feeling of being grateful or thankful. It is an expression of deep appreciation within yourself that is extended outward. In order to receive the full benefit of this meditative experience, it is recommended that you listen during a time and in a place where you will not be disturbed for 5 to 7 minutes. As you take a long, deep inhale, focus your attention and your energy right in the center of your chest, the center of love within your being. And breathe into the center of your chest, holding the thought form, I am so grateful. And exhale that breath. Again, breathing directly into the center of your chest, I am so grateful. And allow that breath to be released. And see, feel, imagine, intended to be so, that someone you love unconditionally and someone you know loves you unconditionally is standing right before them. See them with your mind's eye. If you can't see them, feel their presence. And if you can't feel their presence, just imagine that they're there, or set an intention that this person that I love unconditionally, who loves me unconditionally, is standing right before me. Eye to eye, heart to heart, soul to soul. And as if you could speak directly into their heart and into their being, simply say, thank you. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for you. I'm so grateful for your love. I'm so grateful for the opportunity to love you. I'm so grateful. and take a long deep inhale. And exhale. And allow the feeling, the experience, the expression of gratitude to fill your being from the soles of your feet to the top of your head. Allow it to radiate and vibrate within you as you hold the thought for, I am so grateful. Grateful. Grateful I am. I am grateful for this moment, this life, this time, this experience. Just breathing gratitude. Long, deep inhale. I am so grateful. Slow, complete exhale. Grateful. I am. Again, a long, deep inhale. I am so grateful. And a slow, complete exhale. Grateful. I am. And breathe. And experience the radiance of gratitude. And bring your awareness to the gentle ebb and flow of your breath. And together we take a long, deep inhale in and drop it with the sound of again, a long, deep inhale and drop it. And wiggle your toes and your fingers. And give your body a big stretch, allowing the energy to be balanced and reintegrated at all levels of your being. And whenever you're ready, you may open your eyes and focus on something in the room. As you take a long, deep inhale and drop it. And allow yourself to just bask in the radiance of gratitude. And as you move into your day, be sure to do something good for you. And be blessed.
There's nothing better than love.
I fell asleep late last night, and I dreamed the night and almost half the day away. I just got up so that I could hear her say she's still in love, and no one can take her love away.
Wakes me up every day, and I thought no one could ever make me feel this way. It fills me up every time I hear him say he's still in love, and no one can take his love away.
I wanna be loved. Nothing better than love. What in the world could you ever be thinking of? It's better by far. So let yourself reach for that star and go no matter how far to the one you love, to love.
And I mean all these words I say. And you don't have to guess what's going on inside my head.
Try to know, oh,
And then we heard a song, and that was Mesa, Nothing Is Better Than Love. Love woke us up this morning, family. Love woke us up this morning. Yes. So, okay, we're going to talk about, guess what? We're going to talk about how to access God's financial provision for our life. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. I was listening to Dr. Joseph Murphy on my way to sleep last night. And I'm reading this book called The Great Prayer. And the great prayer is about the Our Father prayer. But what was the two synonymous things that I want to first start off with is the fact that in the book by Irvin Seals, The Great Prayer, and Dr. Joseph Murphy, The Wealth Mindset, said something that was really, really interesting. It's not about the rope affirmations or the memorized prayers. It's about the feeling. What feeling do we get into when we pray? When we ask or desire something. So I was thinking about how many times we find ourselves in a place of lack. And because of the physical presence of lack, we haven't learned to shift our consciousness into who we truly are, which is metaphysicians, which is being able to see beyond the physical, right? I've been talking to you a lot about your spiritual eyes. So I want you to learn to see beyond what is physically showing up and what the book is saying and what Dr. Joseph Murphy was saying. Even in the physical, if we see lack or struggle, our job is to get in the mood of abundance. I want you to think about that for a minute. The mood of abundance. If you want to access your financial abundance, it's about getting in the mood, no matter what the physical appearance is showing you. So one of the ways that I suggest is to, I feel like what moves me is three things that moves my consciousness. One is music. One is meditation. And one is to say my affirmation until I feel it. Use my voice and vibrate the words until, speak my words until every cell in my body get into agreement with what it is that I want to experience. So why am I saying that? Because I want you to understand that every cell in your body has its own mind, its own brain. So even though you may be speaking, I am rich, I am rich, or God in me is my unlimited overflowing money, or whatever, health or wealth or whatever it is your affirmation is, your body has to get into alignment, because scientists have found that every cell in our body has its own mind, its own brain. So even though I may be thinking in my brain, in my mind, in my head, but what are my cells used to? What's the pattern, the behavior, the energy in my cells? That's why it's interesting. So, you know, I'm always talking about forgiveness, always talking about release. But I think when I found out that the cells in my body had a memory, and that even though I may be speaking into my experience, riches and abundance with my words and my mind, but has the brain cells caught up with what it is I am speaking? That's why it's important to get into the feeling, to be cognizant of what is the body feeling. So if a bill collector calls and you tense up in the body, and that's your response, and you stress, your cells are going to remember how to be in poverty, how to be stressed. And so we have to even train the cells in our body, speak to the cells in our body. When I wake up in the morning, I sit by my altar, I anoint my thoughts. Divine Mother, Father God. And I anoint my thoughts, asking that every be God's thought. I anoint my words, every word I speak, I ask that it be the words of the Holy Spirit, and that the words that I speak will speak to the hearts of your people, Holy Spirit. That these words will bless, heal, inspire. and touch the souls of those that you've called to the line this day. And then I ask every cell in my body to return back to its highest vibration. And I ask myself to return to its highest vibration. And do we know what the highest vibration on the planet is? If you're on this line, I'm sure you know. It's love. And so I ask myself to wreak the presence of love. Activate and stir up the presence of my gifts inside of me. It's important that we anoint ourselves. It's important that we stop each day and honor this body temple that we've been given to animate the presence of God through. The presence of the Spirit that lives in us as is all around us. Once we anoint our body, and then it's important that we inscribe, engrave into the subconscious, into the cells, into that inner child, into that presence of us that has remembered how to be anything other than abundance. It's time to release that and move into the feeling of what it will feel like. One of the most powerful places, one of the most powerful faculties is the faculty of imagination. What did Albert Einstein say imagination is? Albert Einstein said the imagination is what? The preview of God's coming attraction of our life. What we see in the screen of our mind, like, you know, when we go to the movie and they, before the movie come on, we get to see the coming attraction. The movies that's coming out in the next few months. Well, that's what our imagination is. It's the coming attraction. It's the preview of the coming attractions of our life. And we get to hold that vision in our imagination. The vision. And it's some of us have lost our opportunity to dream and envision. We're so caught up in the physical appearances. We get caught up in the politics, and we don't see that even though the spiritual is happening, there's a spiritual vision that's happening in the world that we can't see because we're too caught up in our physical eyes. When people ask me questions about what's happening in this politics with the president and stuff, I say, well, you know, the one thing we can't heal was not been revealed. And the one thing that this president has done is brought us an opportunity to see where needs to be healed. It's been so many things being revealed in our world's mind that needs to be healed. And so when I think of the opportunity, I send love. I send love into 45. I send love into the White House. I send love into the universe because that's our job. Our job is to not get caught up in the physical presence of what's going on. Our job is to renew, reshift our consciousness into the spiritual beings, the metaphysicians that we are. And what does meta beyond physician, physical, beyond the physical? Our job is to see with the spiritual eyes. I want you to bless your eyes every day to see the way God sees. I remember sitting in the middle of my bed one day asking God to show me, Holy Spirit, show me how to see myself the way you see me, Holy Spirit. And I placed my hand over my eyes and I keep a glass of water, distilled water on my altar, and I just place my fingers and bless the water and bless my eyes to ask God to show me how to see with spiritual 2020 vision, God. Show me how to see myself the way God sees me. Because it's so easy to get caught up in what you're not, what you don't have, what you're not experiencing. Our default language can be so not so high. And so I wanted my default language to be in a high place. So if something showed up in my bank account less than what I desire, that my immediate default language, we will understand that God, in the God in me, the God in me is the source of my unlimited overflowing money source. Yes. And that God's wealth was circulating in my life freely, joyously, copiously, ceaselessly, endlessly. And to get into the mood so that I could get through a financial breakthrough. And let me give you an example. One day when I first got laid off from my job, it was easy to get on this line and say, God is the source of my unlimited supply. Everything and everybody prospers me now, right? It was easy to get on that line and say that. I was making $15,000 a month. Then I get laid off of a job that I loved. I couldn't understand it. But Spirit kept saying to me, I'll give you a house you didn't build. I'll give you a land that you didn't toil. I'll give you an oil rig that you didn't dig, a grapevine that you did not plant. That scripture in Deuteronomy, right? So I'm thinking, well, how am I going to get a house on it? Because I was used to a hard work consciousness. The best thing ever happened was my layoff. You see, because I was used to working to get my money. But God said, seek ye the kingdom of God. Well, where's the kingdom of God? Who is God? God said, that's you. You, God. You are the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is in you. And all this, well, what is all this righteousness? God said, all the gifts and talents that I have placed inside of you. And then if I did my work, which was to seek the presence of God as me and all my gifts and my talents, God said, I will draw all things unto you. That's in Matthew 6:33. He said, if I seek ye the kingdom of God, and I'm God, meaning if I seek myself, if I master myself and all of the gifts and talents that have been placed inside of me, then what does God say in his word about, and we're using the Bible, you know, right? That this particular religious text I'm talking is from the Bible. God said, your gifts and your talents will do what? Make room for you and take you before great people. When the Bible says men. So my job was to study myself. I want you to marinate on that. Because so many times when we find ourselves in a place of lack, whether it's a lack of love, lack of money, we want to go outside ourselves. Well, let me go to this place and maybe I'll find me a spouse. Let me go here. Maybe I could give me an extra job to make money. But what if I told you everything you ever want, need, and desire was already inside of you? You want love, become love. You want more money, more wealth, become money. You want more success, become success. Become success. Like, what does it mean to become success, right? What does it mean to become money? To become love. Be the love. Be the change. All that stuff. So I thought about that. Those were my questions. So I'm assuming they might even be yours. But if you look up the word being, one of the words that's synonymous with being is spirit. Isn't that interesting? Nature. So when you're being, the nature of love is in your spirit already. That's how I took it. Yes, the nature of money is already in your being. Because when you break down everything, Albert Einstein says what? Everything is energy. Everything is energy. everything is energy. My job is to find the energy, the frequency, the vibratory energy of that frequency. Because everything has vibrates at a level of frequency. Everything has a frequency level that it vibrates on. Lack has a frequency it vibrates on. Prosperity has a vibration or a frequency that it vibrates on. So our job is to learn how to align ourselves in the vibration or the level of frequency of what it is that we want to bring ourselves into alignment with, which is why prayer is so powerful, because it's not about begging. It's not about beseeching. It's about alignment. God has already said yes. Our job is to learn how to bring the invisible into the visible world. That's why I love, 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 love Albert Einstein. I think I call Albert Einstein one of the best alchemists on the planet. What is an alchemist? Somebody who can take fool's gold and bring it into real gold, or the invisible into the visible world. And Albert Einstein understood the universal laws to use and manipulate the vibrations to bring in the invisible into the visible world. And that's all Our Father prayer is about either. Two, think about this. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come on earth. Now earth is the physical pleasures. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. What is that saying? That's bringing what is in the invisible world, which is the heavenly state, into the earthly realm, which is the physical state. Hallowed be thy name. What does that really think about that? When we think about the name, when we hear the name is just another word for nature. So what is the name of God? What is the nature of God? What is the nature of the Creator? Good and very good. And when you hear the first line, Our Father, Divine Mother, Father God. What is that? That is reminding us that we are one with the presence of the Creator. Now, of course, you know, we come from a very, when we talk about the Bible, this particular religious text, we know we come from a very patriarchal provision, but you understand that the nature of this prayer is to remind us in this line right here that we are one with the Creator, with the Mother, Father, God. We are one with the Mother, Father, God. We are one. We are one. And so when we get to pray our prayers, whether we pray the Lord's Prayer, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. The Lord is my banker. And I shall not want. What are we saying? We're honoring the energy of the presence, understanding that everything is energy. And if everything is energy, then God is energy. We are energy. Money is energy. Love is energy. And love is the highest vibration on the planet. The highest frequency that we can ever get into is love. So if we can get in the vibration of love, then we can just allow ourselves to align ourselves with all that is good. Nothing but good shall come to us. That's why love does not need protection, because nothing can come in love's frequency but love, because energy can only meet energy. Let me say that again. Energy can only meet energy. That's why when we say, well, this is a reflection of what your energy, or you just reflecting. This is just a mirror. And you like, oh, this is not a mirror. No, no, no. There's no way this could be me. But remember, energy can only meet energy. When something is showing up in my space, in any kind of way that I'm not pleased with, I have to ask myself, where is my consciousness? What is going on in my right now consciousness? And I immediately get still and shift my consciousness What in me in this right now moment created this space? I'll give you an example. Being married for quite a while, and I didn't understand energy at the time as much as I understand it today. And I remember cleaning up the house. The house was beautiful, and I just sitting there reading my book, and my husband coming in, and he is not in a good mood, I'll tell you. He goes into something, and the next thing you know, we are in this argument. And I stopped while he was arguing or whatever, and I go in my head, I said, well, how is this reflecting me right now? I'm sitting here in this piece reading my book. Why are we in this? What did I do to create this right now moment? So I shift my consciousness. I began to pour love into myself. But I didn't say another word. I just allowed him to say what he said. We got ready for bed, and I continued to love on me. I wrote myself a love letter and even put it under my pillow. And I said I loved myself to sleep. Now, normally when we get into, especially an argument of that level, I would toss and turn. I couldn't sleep. I would replay the argument over and over again. But instead of letting myself replay the argument, I just kept reshifting my focus on loving me. Loving me. Yep, from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. I love myself so much. And I just saying myself, love myself. I just kept loving myself and just loving the energy. Just kept pouring love into me until I loved myself to sleep. Now, woke up the next morning. My husband don't ever use the words, I apologize or I'm sorry. Now, that doesn't mean that he doesn't find a way to apologize. After reading the love language, I realized that his way of apologizing was fixing you breakfast in bed or doing something nice for you. Well, this morning he got up and he said, I am so sorry. That's what he said. I am so apologetic. And he began to tell me how much he loved me. But the words he was saying was the words that I had said to myself that even I had wrote in my love letter. I looked under my pillow to see if he had taken my love letter and read it because he was saying everything I had said to myself. But what shifted was my energy. And so energy can only meet energy. So he woke up and he met my energy with what I had energized myself with on the way to sleep. He met me at my level. Instead of me coming down to the level of where we were, and I raised the vibration and shifted, he raised his consciousness because that's the only thing can happen with love. You either can rise to the occasion or you're going to get out the way of love because love needs no protection. Love doesn't need a fence. It doesn't need you to guard it because the only thing that can stand in love's vibration is love. When we meet love vibration and we can't stand in love vibration, guess what's going to happen? We're going to flee. You think you're up here guarding your heart because, oh, I don't want my heart to be broke. All you're doing is attracting exactly what it is you said you don't want. Because that's where you vibrate at. If you truly want love, then be love. Meaning, become the love. Pour love into yourself. Walk in your love's energy. When you put on your clothes, put on your love clothes. When you take a bath, anoint yourself, anoint your water with love. Bless your shoes with love as you, so that everywhere you tread your feet, you will be treading your feet on love's holy ground. If you want more money, then anoint yourself with the energy of money, wealth. Anoint yourself. Move your vibrations into the energy of wealth and get into the feeling. Become fascinated with the energy of wealth. What would it feel like? What does it taste like? What does it look like to walk in the energy of wealth? Money, love, whatever it is you desire. Maybe you desire greater health. What would it feel like to move beyond the pain of what's going on in your body? And move beyond what the diagnosis or what the physician says you have and move beyond that and feel what it feels like to feel great health. You know, they gave Dr. Johnny Coleman 6 months to live. She got in the mood of health. She
she told her she refused to accept the idea that she only had 6 months to live. She refused to accept that the cancer was going to beat her body. And I tell you, the more I've studied fear, the more I believe that fear kills and cancer don't. Because as soon as we get the diagnosis of cancer, the immediate response is to go into fear mode of death. But I admire her, what she did. She was able to move beyond the fear, move beyond the idea of what the physicians were telling her. And she knew there was a real master physician. And she knew that master physician lived in her, as her, all around her. And she began to study what would it look like to walk in health, spoke to the cells in her body. She asked every cell in her body to reach. Because when you think about cancer is an interruption of the cell. The cell growth. It distorts what the wholeness of the cell looks like. So the cell begins to recreate itself into cancerous cells, recreate. That's all that's happened. So if a cell has a brain, and every cell in our body has its own brain, and it's recreating, it's only recreating what our mind is teaching the cells to recreate. So then you have to be a bigger interrupter and talk to the cells and say, oh, no, cells. Mm-mm. Yes, and you have the power to speak to yourself. You do. Just like you have the power to speak to the mountains, think of the cells as the mountain. Your word, your religious text tells you that you can speak to the mountain. Be removed, and it will be removed. But let me tell you what's interesting about the power of the vibration of the cells in our body. I was watching a 60 Minutes. And I love this particular episode of 60 Minutes because it was about stem cell research. And I love stem cell research because I think it's just innovative and it just shows us the power of God. Oh, see, I just cried and I just thank God for the power of stem cell research. So this guy had cancer of the esophagus. And so what they did was, now if you ever met anybody who had, in a regular way, they treat cancer of the esophagus, they had to take the cancer out and then you had this hole and you live with this tracheotomy and you speak through this kind of vibrational kind of thing in it. But this guy, through stem cell, was able to, they put in there, shot different cells into the esophagus, and it was able to rebuild his esophagus 100%, and he spoke normal. Never, you wouldn't have never thought he had throat cancer or cancer of the esophagus. And I was like, go God. Then the guy had his leg, he was a bomb specialist, and somehow the bomb blew up and it took off his leg. They was able to shoot stem cells into the leg, and the leg rebuilt itself. Come on, Holy Spirit. Thing happened to another guy's arm. The arm, he at the time of the airing, the leg and the arm had almost 98% usage at that time. They were still building the skin back over there. But it was, I mean, just amazing. Then a finger. They rebuilt the guy's finger. And then this was the most pertinent question that the journalist or the guy who was doing the show, broadcaster, he asked the scientist, how does a cell know that it's a finger? How does the cell know that it is an esophagus or a leg or arm? How does the cell rebuild itself and understand what it is it's supposed to be? And guess what the scientist told the reporter? That there's intelligence in the cell. I was like, wow. there's intelligence in the cell. The cell already knows what it's supposed to be. So if every cell in our body already knows what it's supposed to be, don't you know that you, if we get out our own way, your cell, every cell in you already knows what you even came to the planet to do, be, and have. The reason we don't have or experience life the way we want is because we get in our own way. If we surrender, just surrender to the presence that already knew everything that it wanted to be on this planet, our cells already know that. Think about when you look at an acorn under a microscope, it doesn't look like an acorn. Guess what it looks like? The oak tree. Because the acorn knows its only job is to do what? Is to become an oak tree. That's the only job. Our cells understand its job. Our cells are intelligent. But guess who's the programmer of the cells of the body? Come on now. Come on, Holy Spirit. We've been programming our cells to believe and struggle, lack, to believe in whatever it is that we're experiencing that we no longer want to experience. You don't have to experience anything you don't want to experience. You don't have to accept the fact that you're a woman or you're a man or that you're an African American or that you this or that you that. You, all you need to do is accept what the experience that you want to have. When we look back in the years where slavery was happening and you see people who never experienced slavery or who figured out that I no longer want to experience this because of the color of my skin and they begin to experience a different life, Father Divine. Napoleon Hill tells this story in a book called You Can Have Your Own Miracles. You can perform your own miracles. Something about doing your own miracles. I can't think of the name right this minute. But on page 72, he goes into a story about Father Divine and how Father Divine was picking cotton. And Father Divine was in the early 1900s, 18, doing slavery. He was picking cotton, and it was 100 degrees outside. It's hot. And he looked up into the sky and said, God, why? And he said, God said to him, because you chose to be a slave. I said, wow. He said, if you knew you were God, you wouldn't be enslaved. Whew, that thing blew my mind. Can you imagine? And from that day forward, he left that cotton field and became who we know today as Father Divine. He left that plantation. Now, I don't know the story in between and how he became Father Divine because they don't tell it, or at least not in that particular book. It may be something else out there, but Father Divine, and they say Father Divine became one of the most prosperous and taught other people how to live in prosperity. And people of all colors and races and all creeds and all kind of people was following Father Divine. They said he didn't even ask for one donation. But he lived an experience, a very prosperous life. Father Divine. Father Divine is like what we call Reverend Ike today. he was their Reverend Ike. That's what I like to think, you know, when I think about Father Divine. What I want us to do is to learn how to get into the feeling. The feeling. Because it's the feelings that gets the blessing. When we learn how to operate and shift our consciousness, we can experience what we desire. Now think about it. Father Divine in the 1800s, early 1900s, late 1800s, experiencing a very prosperous life after he decided and understood that he was God. they put Father Divine in jail because they said he was blaspheming when he would go around and tell people he was God. He said God told him he was God. And a God doesn't have to be a slave. But what does it mean to be God on the planet? The Bible even tells us, thee are God. Ye are gods. What does it mean? What does it mean to be God on the planet? And that's the question you need to ask yourself. What does it mean when God said you are God? What would that look like if you understood what it meant to be a God, a goddess? And that's one of the things I want you to write in your journal. What would that look like? That definitely wouldn't look like a beggar. That definitely wouldn't look like you living in poverty. That definitely wouldn't look like struggle. What is the characteristics in your mind of a god or a goddess? What would that look like for you? If you understood the dominion and the authority and the mastery that you have over the planet, what would that look like for you? What would the characteristics of that being look like? The word, and I'm going to leave you with this. Jesus said we can do all the things that Jesus did and do the works of Jesus and even greater. What would that mean if you can walk the planet and turn water into wine, amplify the fish and the bread, turn the two fish and five loaves into multitudes of food? What would that look like if you really became the alchemist, the gift, the metaphysician that you truly are? What would that vibration look like? Can you imagine the character, the quality and the characteristics of who Jesus was walking the planet? Can you imagine when he was walking through the yard? I always imagine Jesus being this tall, dark, handsome. And the disciples was tall, dark, and handsome. So you see these 13 handsome men walking through the park, and all these people are gathering around to be in the presence of Jesus and this lady who've been experiencing the issue of blood, and all she wants to do is just touch the hem of the garment of Jesus. And she had she walked through that crowd and crawled through that crowd and rustled through that crowd because she had a mind made up. We hear the consciousness of Jesus, but it takes a certain consciousness to meet certain consciousness, right? And when Jesus felt the touch, now she just touched the hem on the garment. Now really, she never even touched the physical skin of Jesus, just the hem, the little flap of the garment that Jesus was wearing. Her touch was so powerful that virtue left his body. And he said, who touched me? But what was happening in that right there moment? That was consciousness meeting consciousness. That was energy meeting energy. And the energy was so present that Jesus felt her energy and said, who touched me? And Peter, one of the disciples, one of them had to look and say, now, Jesus, really? All these people out here, and you want to know who touched you? And he said, yeah, because something different happened in my body. About the frequency, the consciousness, the shift in her energy that she said, today I'm going to be made whole. Today I'm going to meet consciousness. That's what that story is about, consciousness meeting consciousness, that she was so made up in her mind that she was going to heal her body, that she was going to meet the consciousness of health. That's what that really story is all about. It's about meeting the consciousness, shifting the energy, consciousness meeting consciousness. We never hear the story because Jesus wouldn't have never felt virtue leave his body if something wasn't going on in the consciousness of her being. Lots of people were touching because it was a crowded space. You ever went to the Taste of Chicago or to a concert in a park, and that's what was going on. And you see those people moving through, pushing and moving, and she was doing that. But her consciousness was so in a high vibration that she was meeting the consciousness of herself to heal herself, because she was no longer accepting. Come on now. Refused to accept that illness any longer. So I want you to have a mind so made up that you refuse to accept whatever is in your experience that you no longer want. to the point that you meet the consciousness of what it is you desire. And consciousness is just another word for awareness. That's my message for today. Anybody got any questions, comments, or concerns, you can press 1 on Blog Talk. If you're on teleconference line, you just star 6, press 1 on Blog Talk. Blog Talk is the 602 number. And let me know that you want to come in this morning. I tell you, it's all about consciousness. All right, you all quiet this morning. That's okay. Oh, wow. We made it through our first week of March, family. This is Manifest March, and it's all about manifesting. Manifesting the life we desire, the love we desire, whatever it is you desire. It's about manifesting, manifesting, and manifesting. And you have the power to do that. I just want to remind you today that your life is a gift from God, and what you do with your life is a gift back to God. Remember to choose love. Love is a choice. And remember, the power is in you. Don't just dream your God-sized dreams, but live them, family. And remember, it only works if you work it. It only works if you work it. All right, so we're going to get ready. You know what? I'm going to play this poem that sometimes I just love to hear this poem because I want to remind you to doubt your doubts before you doubt God. It's so easy to get caught up in our lack, our struggle. But I want you to doubt what you see. Let go.
I remember.
Move beyond.
My little niece ran up to me and told me, "We learned about Jesus today." And I could tell by her smile she was so excited to learn about this man that she did not quite know yet, but she knew without a doubt for it to be true because after all, Mommy said so. And that was the first time in my life that I looked into the eyes of a child and envied them because she had no idea of what it feels like to doubt. What it feels like to have your entire belief system overload with skepticism, to never know the day that you would finally be able to live beyond the shadow of a doubt. I've lived in its darkness for so long. It seems like I have all the right questions, but never enough answers, and my faith is small enough to fit in the cracks of my palms. God, every night I lay my head down to sleep, the city of my mind is attacked by a legion of questions threatening the living rooms of my sanity and holding them hostage. Can you help me? Last year, my grandmother laid in a hospital bed like a bus stop waiting for God to come pick her up. I had never seen such pain and such confidence living in the same eyes when she told me, "I don't know what I'm going to do, but I know who I belong to." And I was so happy for her. And something inside of me wished that somehow before she passed away, she could pass down her confidence in God to me like an old family picture. I remember sitting in the back row of a cold sanctuary, crying, because I desperately wanted what the preacher was saying to be true, but my doubts were preaching a sermon of their own, and the streams of my tears turned into oceans of frustration. I remember sitting in a college classroom, and the only thing being tested is my faith in God. The only thing passing is my hope. Me, and a backpack full of fear, and nowhere to go, no one to help me unpack. I sleep, but I never rest. These lines around my eyes are not wrinkles, they are maps that show you the winding roads that lead to my pain. I'm tired. And I'm longing for the day that I can place my fingers in his nail-pierced hands because honestly, I've considered quitting, but where will I go? Back? There's no home for the living in the land of the dead, so I keep pressing forward. today I have faith, but I can't make any promises about tomorrow. I'm surprised I've held on this long. God, just make me feel like I'm not crazy. God, let me know that I'm not just making friends with these walls when I pray. I'm not questioning you. I just got questions. Don't leave me here. Don't leave me. My child, when it seems like you have all the right questions, but never enough answers, and your faith is small enough to fit in the cracks of your palms, I told you. Faith the size of mustard seeds can rearrange whole landscapes and turn mountains into open highways. Faith comes by my word, so maybe you've cuffed your ears, my child. Don't be childish. But consider the child whose faith has not quite learned the definition of impossible. Have your questions. I'm not telling you to have a blind faith. I'm telling you to consider the blind men who had faith and believed my words before they were even able to see me. Consider the birds that eat from my hand and do not fall from the sky without my consent. So how much more will I love the ones that I died for? Before you doubt me, doubt your doubts. Doubt your doubts, and you will see they are just as empty as the tomb that I walked from. Truth is, you know I'm here. You know my truth, and you're scared. Scared of what that means. Scared of what that should cost you. That one day they will all laugh you right out of their classrooms and scorn you out of their courtrooms. But my love serves as an eviction notice to anxiety. When they cast stones, my love casts out fear. I am the author and finisher of your faith. I've never started a work that I will not finish. I am the one who will give you courage to stare death in the face and say, how dare you try to scare me? I know who I belong to. And when it feels like you are drowning, in a sea of your questions, just know I'm there. I'm there. Like when I drowned in the Red Sea of my blood for you, and these hands that took holes will hold you. And when I told you that I would love you forever, I meant it. Don't you see these rings in my hands? See, we are married. For better or for worse, through sickness and in health, through faith and through questions, till death brings us closer, you are mine. You are mine, and I am yours, I promise.
At this point in my life, I just want to have fun. And I wanna be free. Spiritually, I have grown, and I know I have a long way to go. But what I do know right now is that God is amazing, and the universe is amazing, and there's so much out there for all of us. So we never have to worry and shed a tear. And I'm looking forward to the rest of my life.